With the news at one, and as we've heard, dozens of Palestinians have been killed in a wave of Israeli airstrikes. A spokesman for Gaza's Civil Defence Agency told the BBC that most of the deaths were in the southern city of Khan Yunis. This comes as aid agencies and the UN voice ever sharper warnings about the humanitarian situation. It's now 10 weeks since Israel stopped allowing aid into Gaza, and agencies say they're seeing malnutrition, particularly among children. Earlier this week, Tom Fletcher, who's the UN Under-Secretary General for Humanitarian Affairs, accused Israel of deliberately and unashamedly imposing inhumane conditions on civilians, something it denies. We can hear part of Mr. Fletcher's speech.
Israel is deliberately and unashamedly imposing inhumane conditions on civilians in the occupied Palestinian territory. For more than 10 weeks, nothing has entered Gaza, no food, medicine, water, or tents. Hundreds of thousands of Palestinians have again been forcibly displaced and confined into ever-shrinking spaces. As 70% of Gaza's territory is either within Israeli militarized zones or under displacement orders. We have life-saving supplies ready now at the borders. We can save hundreds of thousands of survivors. We have rigorous mechanisms to ensure our aid gets to civilians and not to Hamas. But Israel denies us access, placing the objective of depopulating Gaza before the lives of civilians. So for those killed and those whose voices are silenced, what more evidence do you need now? Will you act decisively to prevent genocide and to ensure respect for international humanitarian law? Or will you say instead that we did all we could?
UN Under-Secretary General Tom Fletcher. Now, in a few moments, we'll hear about the impact of the blockade from the World Health Organization. First, though, Yusra Abu Sharek of the International Network for Aid, Relief and Assistance gave this picture of the current food situation in Gaza.
Yesterday, for example, we at Inara organization distributed vegetable parcels. You could not imagine the happiness amongst children. They were dancing while they are eating cucumbers. So people in Gaza are starving. They are tired. They are exhausted, drained.
And that was Yusra Abu Sharek. We can talk now to Christian Lindmeier, international spokesperson for the World Health Organization. Thanks for being with us at this lunchtime. You say this is one of the world's worst hunger crises. What are you hearing about the situation on the ground?
Thanks for having me, Rachel. Well, indeed, it is one of the worst, if not the worst, although it's kind of a cynical thing to compare the tragedies of the world. We have teams in right now, again, trying to submit or to deliver the last stock materials that we have in place. But of course, for the World Health Organization, we're talking about medical supplies, all types needed at this moment, from simple bandages to medicines for cancer, for diabetes, for any type of treatment, but mainly trauma supplies right now. But everything is necessary. But what we see is people craving for food, for fresh water, for anything like sanitary conditions. They're being basically chased from one place to the other. It is a horrific scenario. The Gaza Strip has been under a blockade for so long, and now the entire population of the Strip, approximately 2.1 million people, continue facing a critical risk of famine following 19 months of conflict and now weeks of closing the door and not allowing any aid inside.
Israel says it can deliver food and other essential items via a number of distribution routes. Now, I know this isn't what the UN agencies want, but would it be better than nothing at this stage?
Well, anything is better than nothing, if you see it that way. But you don't need to set up another non UN-backed international group or national group with any plan, you have the UN on the ground. We have the material outside the gates. The only thing you need to do is open the door, literally. Open the door and let everything in which is outside, and that will help the people. We saw the joy and the relief of the people during the short time of the truce we just had recently. People started living again, returning to their homes, to houses, building what they could build up again. And now you're depriving them of the most basic humanitarian stuff. The aid is there. The time is running out. The shipments are just minutes away, just across the gates. Open the door and let it in.
A growing number of politicians have criticized the blockade. The French President Emmanuel Macron described it as shameful. But is any of this making any difference?
International pressure is important. Political will is important. It's the only thing that counts right now, because it's only a political decision to change that. And the more international partners, the more governments, the more heads of states are speaking out and denouncing this, the easier it will be to finally get some leverage here to end this inhumane situation.
If the blockade doesn't end soon, what will happen?
It's hard to imagine. I mean, the famous IPC report, which looks at the acute food insecurity and malnutrition, just stopped short of declaring a famine in Gaza. But we don't need to wait for a famine, because it's a technical term to describe a situation which is horrific on the ground. We see people dying. People don't die of hunger per se. They die of malnutrition in the terms of that they get sick and weak and die then of any other disease which catches them. So that's the most horrific scenario. And additionally, you have people starving to death. You have young, weak children starving to death. You have elderly not making it anymore, not being able to leave places where they have been chased out from. So you have a horrific scenario. It's really difficult to paint that picture ahead of time. But the worst scenarios we've seen from around the world with hunger catastrophes and famines, this is what people in Gaza are facing now. And it's so easy to stop it. We just need to end the aid blockade, which is against all humanitarian principles, and let the supplies in.
We know that a hospital in Khan Yunis is now out of service because of those Israeli airstrikes in the south of Gaza. What impact is that likely to have?
That last one has a very specific high impact. I mean, any attack on any hospital is a scandalous situation, because it means that the last shelter that people have when they're sick and when they're weak and when they're wounded is also not a safe space anymore. So, but that Gaza European Hospital has just been rendered non-functional due to the repeated targeting and then that was severely damaged, and the internal infrastructure, sewage system, everything. And that is significant, because it leads to the suspension of services that it was providing with specialized care, like neurosurgery, surgery, cardiothoracic surgery, interventional cardiology. So it was the last one to provide any cancer treatment in the strip after the destruction of the Turkish-Palestinian Friendship Hospital. It had 28 intensive care units. It had 12 neonatal incubators. It had 260 inpatient beds, and so on and so forth. 60 oncology beds, so cancer treatment, and these are now out of service. So this is leaving thousands without access to life-saving medical care, and it's another drop in this horrific ocean.
Christian Lindmeier of the World Health Organization, thank you for talking to us on the News at One.